So, especially in our day, there are many pastors who are idolized by their congregations. And not just celebrity pastors, you know, the people on TV and the pastors who write lots of books. But I think even in local congregations, this may or may not be true here at all, but I think a lot of people in congregations think their pastor is the super spiritual one. You know, they're the one who know the Bible. They're the one who really serve God and bring people to Christ and all of these things. And I think mainly that's because most people in congregations are mostly just familiar with their pastor's words, sermons, newsletter articles, books, if pastor writes books, what have you. Many pastors are idolized by their congregations. Not many pastors, I can also tell you, are idolized by their families. Now, I just happen to have more family here than usual, and I'm sure that they can attest, not many pastors are idolized by their families. And that is because that families are not just familiar with the pastor's words and what the pastor has finely tuned for Sunday morning and the stories that the pastor has specifically chosen to tell the rest of the congregation. Pastors' families and close friends know that person day in and day out. They know how they act. They know how they treat people. They know how they respond to unexpected experiences. For all of us, not just pastors, it's just that pastors say more words than a lot of us do. But for all of us, there's a big difference between being able to talk the talk and being able to walk the walk. That's right. There's a big difference. Now, for a long time, I think, in our society, the church was able to kind of get away with just talking the talk, saying the right things, believing the right things. But now more and more people, both inside the church and there are more and more people outside the church, who are saying, I don't really care what you have to say. I want to see you walk the walk. And those people can be so annoying. But they're also so important because the church, because followers of Jesus are not just called to say the right things, to talk the talk. Followers of Jesus Christ are called to walk the walk, to walk in the way of Christ. And that's why we're opening the book of James this fall. How many of you are really familiar, have read the book of James before? Anyone? Yeah, Donna said, my focus group, my growth group, better raise their hands. So some of us have. And if you've read the book of James, you know that James is really interested in followers of Jesus walking the walk. Now, this morning, we're just going to start with verse 1. And we're going to start with this question, who is James? And tradition tells us, and tradition that really goes way back, really close to the time of Jesus, tells us that this book was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus, which is really fascinating. Now, James might have been a little slow to believe if we look at the Gospels, but James came around. James came around. And he begins his letter by writing, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this very simple statement is radical in so many ways. First, it's radical because James was a faithful Jew of first century Palestine in the Roman Empire. And James is saying that I believe the Messiah has come, that the Messiah is Jesus of Nazareth. That's a radical statement. It's also radical because he calls himself a servant of God, which isn't just a humble statement. When James says servant of God, I'm a servant of God, he's putting himself in company with people like Moses and David and the prophets whom God had chosen to bring his word to the people. So that's a radical statement. It's also radical, I think, because James is Jesus' brother. All right? Now, listen to this again. Thinking about that James is Jesus' half-brother. Grew up with Jesus. James, a servant of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my brother is here this morning. And I just wonder what would have to happen for you to call yourself a servant of the Lord and Messiah, Jonathan Comperta. I'm not sure what would have to happen for that to be said, but what we do know is that James had a resurrection encounter with Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that James is one of the people that the risen Christ appeared to, and it changed his life. It changed his life. We also know that James historically was referred to as James the Just or James the Righteous, which basically means that James walked the walk. We have a quote from a historian who lived not long after James, named Hegesippus, and he writes, "James used to enter alone into the temple and be found kneeling and praying for forgiveness for the people, so that his knees grew hard like a camel's because of his constant worship of God, kneeling and asking forgiveness for the people." Now that is high praise. You have knees like a camel. Any of you husbands who are looking for something really romantic to say to your wives, you know, you have spiritually encouraging, you know, you have knees like a camel because he daily would go into the temple and be on his knees praying and worshiping. James was one of the most influential people in the early church. And it's not just because he was the half-brother of Jesus. It's because James walked the walk. He lived out the way of Christ. He says then, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion. This is who James is writing to. The Israelites who are dispersed among the Roman Empire, and probably most specifically those Israelites who have come to know and believe Jesus was the Messiah. Now, Jews had been familiar with living in exile for a long time. They had been exiled, in some cases, 700 years before, 750 years before, in some cases, about 600 years before. And in that time period, they had to learn, how do we be faithful to God in among people who are unlike us, in a society that doesn't really care what we believe, that has different ethics, that have people who think and believe and look different than us? How are we faithful in this context? And the early Jewish Christians were having to learn those same lessons. How do we be faithful to Jesus in this new phase? In Acts 8, verse 1, after the early church had kind of been started in Jerusalem, and after Pentecost, they kind of hung out in Jerusalem and preached the word. But then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered or dispersed throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria." And so the earliest Christians are having to learn, how do we live? How do we follow Jesus? How do we live faithfully in this new context where we're not always welcome in our synagogues with our people, and where these new and strange Gentiles who we kind of thought were heathens and pagans, and some of them were, but now they're suddenly God's people. How do we live faithfully in this new dispersion, in this new context? And James's message to those people is very simple. How should you live? Walk the walk. He writes in chapter 1, and we're going to learn this verse. We're going to learn this verse this fall. Chapter 1, verse 22, James writes, "Be doers of the word, not merely hearers." And that's just another way of saying, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, right? Be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Can you say that with me? Be doers of the word, not merely hearers. So what does that all have to do with us? Well, on Vision Sundays, it's our chance to come and really say, where are we going as a church? Who are we as a church? And many of you have been walking together, have been walking the walk together for a long time. Some of you don't want to say how long you've been walking the walk of Christ with each other. I've been here for 4 years now, and that's just a short time compared to how long some of you have been brothers and sisters in Christ and serving God with one another. But we are in, not just our church, but the church is in a new phase of our journey. It's kind of a dispersion kind of phase. We've talked about this before. People aren't just coming into our churches. They're not just flooding into our churches when they move into town. We have to be dispersed out into our neighborhoods to go and shine the light, right? Jesus says, let your light shine before others, to be the salt of the earth. We have to learn how to follow Christ outside the comfort of our own walls. And so we developed our vision together a couple years ago. And we said, you know, with all that's changing around us, what are the things we have to hold tightly to as the church? What are the things we hold loosely to and that might be open to change? And we said that a church are people who are living the gospel life together, who are living into the good news of Jesus together as a community. What does that mean? What do we do together? We glorify, we worship God together. We're worshipers. We grow. We're disciples. We glow. We go out into our neighborhoods and share God's love, share the love of Christ with our neighbors. That's what a church is and does. So we developed our vision. And then recently, last fall, we established our covenant, our member covenant, which is really important in dispersion. When you're going out and in unfamiliar ministry, having changes, being around people who may make you feel uncomfortable, it's really important to have that connection and that security of saying, these are people who I'm with, who I share a meal with every Sunday. Who we come together and we grow together and we glorify together, we glow together. Even when we're apart, we're doing it simultaneously as the body of Christ wherever we are. So we established our covenant. And those are important, but they're just words. So now the question is, how do we walk the walk? And what I think is interesting, and you can be as cynical as you want about our society and where Christians fit and the church fits in our society, what I think is interesting is that our society now is asking us to do and be exactly what James is asking us to do and be, which is exactly what Jesus has asked us to do and be. Our society and James and Jesus are all asking us to walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. Our society doesn't want to see just a bunch of people say they're Christians or use Christian words and say Christian things. They want to ask, do you really know God? Do you really take the Bible seriously? Or do you just say it's God's word and it's really important? Or do you really take the Bible and what God says seriously? Do you really cultivate deep community? Or do you just kind of have a country club, kind of hang out with each other feel? Or do you cultivate deep community? Do you really care for the poor and the orphan and the widow? Do you really live like Jesus lived? And do you really live like Jesus taught? Our society wants to see some correlation between how we live and what they see of Jesus in the Gospels. Do we, like Jesus, eat with sinners? Which means surround ourselves with people who a lot of times we try to avoid. They may be uncomfortable and different from us, who might believe different things, look different than us. They might have different pasts and have made different decisions than we have. But do we surround ourselves with those people and share meals with them and learn their stories and share God's love with them? Do you, like Jesus, bring healing to people who are sick in body and mind and spirit? Do you, like Jesus, challenge the powers that be that keep people from God? In our culture, we could list lots of them. We could list consumerism. We could list partisanship. We could list all kinds of injustice and oppression. Do you speak and live with conviction, like Jesus did, that God is really alive, that God is really doing a new thing and making all things new? Do you really do that? Do you really live like that? Over the summer and over the past months, our leadership team has been really trying to discern, how do we make the words of our vision, how do we make the words of our covenant reality? How do we take the talk of these things and turn them into walk, how we actually live and move and walk together as a community? And so we're going to take some time and listen to some of the ways that our leaders feel like we're moving, God is moving us as a church in just a moment. And what I would encourage you is to remember as you listen that we are a covenant community, which means that God has called all of us. God has called all of us to walk the walk of Jesus and to listen and say, how might God be calling me to take what I believe and what I say I believe and what I know of God and Jesus and what I know of myself and actually use it to build up the body of Christ, to take the light of Christ into the world, to be the salt of the earth? How is God calling me to do that now?